rush. We usually play for quite a long period, so tonight I think we can afford to cut some corners.
那今晚上要看那个什么录影片哈，那我不好意思再向你们借时间了，所以借准时间。
And so since tonight we will be watching the video of the African ministry, I don't want to borrow any more time from you, and so we need to make the most of what we have.
那你讲到八百年，我们昨天今天早上讲到八百年，对不对？ 那今天下午讲到一百一零五四年，对不对？
In the morning we reached the year 800 AD, and in the afternoon we reached the year
1054.在八百年左右呢，我用讲的就好了哈。这个你们那个作业没有，只是让你有一个概念就好，因为如果要仔细想讲的话，讲不完。
And I'll give you a very general outline of the material tonight.
在八百年左右，忽然呢，出现了一个文件，对。
In the year 800, there appeared a document.
文献也可以了哈，就是君士坦丁大帝把土地赠送给教皇的一个文献。This
document was called the Donation of Constantine. In it, the document purports that the document was the gift of Constantine to the church. In other words, Constantine gave the empire, the territory of the empire, to the church.
第二个呢，是就是应该翻译的伊西欧德，这个也是文献。And
the second document was the Isidore Debret.
那这个是说。 那个教皇那个的继承权，就是说，教皇继承了国家所有的那个权利。And
in this document, it said that the church had inherited all of the authority of the empire.
但是这两个文件到第15世纪呢，被发现说是伪造文书，就是那个教皇自己伪造文书。In
the 15th century, it was discovered that both of these documents were fabricated by the church. They were made up.
而尤其这个呢讲得很写得很生动，就是说君士坦丁要死之前呢，教皇跟他抹油离，然后他就把那个罗马西边所有的土地都送给，就是感恩嘛哈，感恩奉献就把那个土地。 意大利的大半将身就送给教皇，所以教皇也是主教，那也是国王，这样。And
the document, the donation of Constantine, describes how it's written as if Constantine wrote it. And the story behind it is that when Constantine was on the point of death, the Pope came and gave him, administered the last rites, anointing him with oil. And in gratitude, Constantine gave to the church the entire western half, or the western Roman Empire. And with that, the Pope gained all authority over the western portion of the Roman Empire. From the 11th to the 13th century, we see the Crusades.
确定于年代说1096、97第一次，整个的这个当中这么200年呢，有10次的十字军东征。
And between the 11th and the 13th century, we see 10 campaign or 10 crusades which took place.
就是我们刚刚讲到的，在这之前622年之后，回教就开始那个茁壮起来。As
we discussed earlier, in the beginning from the year 622, we can see the rise of Islam.
然后后来就占了，把那个迦南地，就是巴勒斯坦占了，把圣地也占了。
And with the rise of Islam, the Muslims gradually spread and eventually conquered Palestine.
那教皇就是发动说我们要去把那个圣地夺回来。And
because of this, the Pope issued a decree and said, we must take back the Holy Land.
这十次当中有三次就是他们打到了巴勒斯坦，也把那个圣地把它夺回来。
And of the Ten Crusades, three actually reached Palestine and succeeded in recapturing Jerusalem and the Holy Land.
但是其中有很凄惨的，比如说他们有一个德国的小孩子，他就被人家鼓励，人家说哦，鼓励他就发起热心，他就组织那个儿童十字军。
And in this history of the Crusades, there are many sad tales. One such tale is of a young German boy or youth who, encouraged by the church, organized a crusade that was made up entirely of children.
都十几岁啊,
and they were all in their teenage years.
要人家照顾的,他们一出去,还没有走出德国,全部死光光啊。
And they set off from Germany, but before they had even reached the edge of Germany, all of them had died.
刚开始第一天大二后，小孩子穿军装很高兴，哦，很勇敢，也是基督的精兵。到晚上睡觉，这个叫妈妈，那个叫爸爸，有的还尿尿床，真的，就正是十字军，基督的精兵，怎么这样子？
The first day of their crusade, they started off very triumphantly. All these young children wearing military gear and armor. But by nightfall, many of them, because they had needed to be taken care of, weren't doing that well.
所以这段时间，那就是教皇一直鼓吹要，哦，鼓吹要圣殿被占了，那个就是圣城耶路撒冷，主耶稣他们说主耶稣那个被钉十字架的地方被占了，我们要把它夺回来，哦，讲的大家很热血沸腾，结果。
But this kind of misplaced zeal was all inspired by the rhetoric of the Pope and the Church because they said, the Holy Land has been captured, Jerusalem has been taken, we need to go take it back. And they inspired many people wrongly to embark on such
crusades.
And so we know that that kind of zeal which is inspired by flesh or by our flesh and blood will not last for long.
我在刚刚有人问我，就想到这个，如果有一些神学的或是理论的问题，如果不讲的话，也是不能打了。所以先讲一个理论的这样。Now
I move on to some more theory, because I think that in the questions that I gave you for your test, you will need a lot of these ideas in order to understand what you're doing.
1215年，当时天主教开了一个大公会议。
In the year 1215, the Roman Catholic Church convened the Lateran Council.
就是拉特兰会，拉特兰大公会。在这里呢，他决定了第一个，把那个圣餐，圣餐慢慢的，他们有形成一种理论，就是说，那个圣餐，我们今天有圣餐，对不对？他们说，那圣餐是真正的变成耶稣的肉。
And in the Lateran Council, they discussed the doctrine concerning the Holy Communion, and what they decided was that in the Holy Communion, the bread actually becomes the physical flesh of Jesus Christ. And this doctrine later became known as transubstantiation.
你有咬嘛，对不对哈？他们说，如果那个肉哈，那个圣餐那个饼哈，注谢之后，这天主教讲的不是我们哈，要先听哈，咬下去，嗯，有点那个肉的味道，就好像吃生肉、吃猪一样的味道。
And what they said was that sometimes
你说不是三餐每次啊，嗯。
When you took the Holy Communion and when you chewed on the bread, that you could actually taste. You could taste a trace of flesh when you ate the bread.
那个他们的，到现在为止，那个天主教这样认为。
And the Roman Catholic Church believes this to this very day.
所以我们明天我们有圣餐的，就圣餐礼的课程，对不对？那这现在定下去讲哈。And
so even though our class on the Holy Communion is not till tomorrow, I'll start introducing you to some of these things today.
天主教主张化质说,
the Roman Catholic Church advocates transubstantiation.
就是那个肉经过注谢之后，那个饼经过注谢之后，就是变成真正的肉，真正的肉。
Which means that the bread through the blessing becomes the actual flesh of Jesus.
那个天主教他们的那个饼哈，他们称作什么 oblate哈，是不是这样子？ 不知道。 那个天主教他们 如果去领圣餐，到现在也是一样，他们的圣餐啊是用那个特制的，平常人不会做，那个是这么大一点点哈，那很薄很薄。那如果你要领圣餐的话，因为他说这是耶稣的肉，所以你不能咬啊，一咬就把咬到耶稣的肉，怎么好意思？又不是中国人说吃你的肉，说不能吃啊，那不能吃怎么办？要吞到肚子里面。他说做的很一块，很薄很薄。人家说梨子有的很好吃，怎么入嘴即化，对不对？他做到很薄很薄，然后他们那个领圣餐是要跪着，这是耶稣的肉，真正的肉哎，那跪着半跪。然后你如果这里，比如说这里在那个主教在主持，然后就要一个一个来这样，来跪着，然后主教说要很小心啊，那正是耶稣肉哦，他们讲的，他放在你嘴巴里面，然后不能咬啊，那话吞进去。所以他们是因为他们会有这样的动作，是因为他们主张话直说，到现在还是一样。如果你去参加他们的那个弥撒哈，都是这样子。
The doctrine of transubstantiation holds that the bread or the host actually becomes the physical blood of the physical flesh of Jesus Christ after the blessing, which means that now when you go to a Roman Catholic Mass, if you partake of the communion, the wafers are made to be very, very thin because they believe that you should not chew on the flesh of Jesus. So you will kneel down, open your mouth, and the priest will place it on your tongue, and it dissolves, and you just swallow it.
那他们认为那个杯哈是真正变成耶稣的血，见血的话，他们说有的人就说，哎，喝起来有点腥味啊，哈，血腥味很重啊。那中古世纪他们不敢喝，到1956年左右，他们第二次梵蒂冈会议才说平信徒可以喝，不然的话都是你去了参加他们比较保守的那个天主教，都是一大杯哈，那主教叫注谢完整大杯，那他们用酒嘛哈，自己喝下去，所以办完圣餐那个主教脸都红红的，这事实啊，你去看看就晓得。
And regarding the cup or the blood of Jesus, they believe that once the cup has been blessed, it becomes the actual blood of Jesus. And because it was the actual blood of Jesus, or they believed that it was, in the Middle Ages, the ordinary believers did not partake of the blood because they thought that they could taste the real blood. And so it was not until the Council of Vatican II in 1956 that the Pope decided that ordinary members could partake of the cup. And they still use wine, and so if you go to a service, you'll see a large chalice in which there's wine, and after wiping the rim of it, the priest will give a little bit to each member, and then they'll drink it themselves at the end of the service, which is why often the priest will appear to be a little tipsy after the service, or red in the face.
那因为在这样的决定之后，所以他们信徒会害怕，这是真正的耶稣肉，那耶稣的血。那有人去刚开始的时候，他们是每个人都领了哈，但是有人会害怕紧张，就花朵就什么躲出来啊，那躲出来不得了，把耶稣的血倒到地上，血很贵的，很宝贵，你怎么把耶稣的血倒下？他认为是真的嘛，所以中古世纪以来他们怎么样，平信徒不领，不敢领啊，想到要吃喝耶稣的血，又怕想说吃到肉喝到腥味怎么办？其实没有啊，他们只是理论这样，那想了就怕，所以中古世纪以来，他们平信徒都不领杯，只是跪着领那个圣餐，也不敢咬，就吞下去。
And you can see the great reverence with which they held the Holy Communion because they thought that it was the real flesh and blood of Jesus Christ, and that is why people would take it with trembling hands, and they might even spill out some of the blood. And so in the Middle Ages, none of the lay members ever partook of the cup.
Just make a little oblat. 他们是特制的，没有啦。像我们这样用，你锅开那么大，你吞得下去，你一吞就哦。那么大，你吞得下去啊？我们是人比较少，所以今天分的比较小。如果有时候人多了，如果人少的话，有时候在德国因为人少，一人吞那么大块，他们吞。他们特制的，一放到嘴巴里面，就融下去，融自然，它不能咬的。
The sister asked if in the Roman Catholic Church, they also have one bread and break it as we do. But they have individually made wafers, which are very thin. And if they had to do it the way we did it and broke bread, and in some cases when the church is small, and if there's one bread, you'll get a really big piece, it would be pretty difficult to swallow it.
那天主教到这个时候呢，发展出七个圣礼。
At this time, the Roman Catholic Church developed their seven sacraments.
第一个就是洗礼。
The first is baptism.
洗到这个时候，我们昨天晚上有看那个，就是文献，本来是在流动的水里面，对不对？后来就可以在家里面，后来可以用热水哈，太冷了嘛哈，那到最后就变成滴水了。
Yesterday we talked about baptism in the teachings of the 12 apostles, and we saw how at first they said that the baptism should be in running water, but if not, it could be perhaps in a pool, and if not that, then you could use sprinklings. We saw how gradually baptism was beginning to change.
那第二个是坚信礼。
The second sacrament is confirmation.
生下来之后，差不多一个礼拜，七天八天，第八天就去带去洗礼。
Baptism would occur usually on the 7th or 8th day after your birth.
然后到12岁到16岁当中，就是一个坚信礼。
And the you would be confirmed when you were somewhere between the ages of 12 and 16.
没有踢啊。本来应该有踢英文，就把它吃掉一个。
There's a lot of differences in the spelling between German and English, so sometimes what you're getting is actually the German.
坚信礼，参加坚信礼的人呢，他们都有上课。那上课的人就是他有整套的，就是我们好像我们宗教教育一样了。Before
your confirmation, you have to go through a series of classes, which are called the catechisms, and they have a very systematic set of teachings that they take you through, much like our own religious education.
在弥撒,
the third sacrament, Mass.
弥撒就是，其实弥撒就是那个，就是最主要是圣餐礼。And the main event
around which a Mass revolves is the Eucharist or the Communion.
我们这都是用那个 Holy Communion 啊，但是原来那个是字是就是注谢。 谢谢, thanksgiving.
In our church, we use the term Holy Communion. But in the original Greek word, the word means thanksgiving.
那在这弥撒是用望弥，那中文说望弥撒，望去看，看弥撒。嗯，你说中文？不是，意思一样。对，中午是看弥撒，去望弥撒。And
in the Middle Ages, when people went to Mass, they went as spectators.
如果你参加那个，我们教会是讲到最多了哈，讲到讲的大家打瞌睡。天主教是望弥撒，它有很多动作，有他们献祭，因为它这个弥撒，它这个他们的圣餐礼就是他们理论是说，把耶稣，比如说这是他已经有那个祭坛哈，他那个饼啊，那个葡萄酒就好像耶稣，然后他再把那好他的。 就我们是用讲座了，他们是有个祭坛，好像把耶稣在放在那祭坛上面在献祭一样，所以他们的圣餐礼是一整个献祭的礼，因为把耶稣献在祭坛上面。And
the reason that they were spectators or observers at the Mass was that there were many rituals involved in the Mass. For example, when they were blessing the cup, since the cup was the blood of Jesus, they would take the cup and place it on the altar as if they were offering it up for a sacrifice. And so people went to watch the spectacle of the Mass.
所以他们信徒去呢，是去望弥撒，因为他们讲到很短，那都是很多动作，他们有烧香啊，拿香啊，然后有对唱啊。And
so unlike our church, where we have a lot of time devoted to the sermon in the Roman Catholic Mass, you'll notice that there are many ritual actions. For example, they'll take incense and many other actions. So when you're there, the sermons tend to be very short, but this but the rituals tend to predominate.
他们说婚姻是神所设的，对不对？所以婚姻也算一个圣礼。
And according to the Roman Catholic Church, since marriage was instituted by God, then marriage also is a sacrament.
那再就是告捷，今天如果吵架啦，或是做什么事坏事啦，那就怎么样？要去跟神父啊，神父，神子人言哈，告捷。
And the fifth sacrament is that of confession, so that if you have committed any sins,
这个是不是 confession？ 是那个 penance。
It's penance. So if you have committed sins, then you need to make amends for your sins.
Confession 是在 penance 里面的其中之一。
And confession is a component of penance.
Contrition 有没有这个字啊？
有。
Contrition 啊哈，这是第一步。那第二步是confession。第三个是
the first step of penance is contrition. The second step is confession.
有应该有这个字啊 ，satisfaction。
Third is satisfaction， 什么意思？
就是有没有英文有这个字吗？
有这个字，可是意思
那就是你先要去悔改。
So in the first step under contrition, you will repent of your sins。
然后再忏悔，就忏悔就是你要先去讲你做错什么，然后做讲完之后，你就就是很难过很难过，然后那个忏悔。
And in the second step in the confession, after you've repented, you need to go and confess your sins to a priest.
然后第三步他就你要做一件功德。
And the third step,
补罪了，补功。
The satisfaction means the satisfaction of your penance. It means that you need to do things to atone for your sins. You need to go through certain actions to make up for the sins that you have committed.
那最后那个神父或是神父就跟你说我儿啊你的罪得赦了
And the last step absolution is when you've completed all the previous steps and the priest will say to you my son or daughter your sins are forgiven
你有没有去参观啊参观过那个天主教堂
Have you ever been inside a Catholic church
那天主教堂那个教堂比如说这个教堂的旁边已经有小房子有好几间有没有
And you'll notice as you walk around that there are many booths, many small booths on the side.
那如果你们调皮的话，有时候里面空空，你进去看一下也可以啊。
And sometimes if you're empty and you can even take a peek inside.
他那个是一个房间哈，然后用黑布隔起来。那这里有椅子，这里有一个椅子，那这里有一个门，这里有一个门。那他有那个门诊时间嘛哈？啊，时间到，那个神父就坐在这里。那门关起来，那这门开开的嘛，那你就进来。他没有看到你，你没有看到他了，那你就开始讲啊。我昨天啊，在路上捡到了一块钱，那我那时候一时就不小心就把它拿去买冰淇淋吃了啊，算是很对不起这样子，这是忏悔啊。
And the way the confessional booths are set up is, as drawn above.The priest will sit on one side and you will enter onto the other side and you'll be separated by a veil and then you can confess whatever sins that you have committed for that day.
那这是整个的告解的过程。
And so this is the process of penance.
从生出来我想看心里第六，等一下，想一想，最后抹油礼。
Let's skip over to the last one. The last sacrament is extreme unction.
Unction. 或是也可以说 T 啊，或是什么
？Last rites, extreme unction.
这两个都可以。就是最后抹油礼
Unction means anointing with oil
就是人要死之前呢其实他是从那个雅各书来的雅各书说你们有生病了就要请长老哈替你祷告那抹油哈如果有什么病的话就会好
And what this means is when you're on the verge of death you will have this sacrament performed on you And this actually comes from James who wrote that if any of you have sins you can go pray and the elders in the church will anoint you with oil and pray for you. And the sixth sacrament, and ordination.
Ordination, 对。
Ordination. Holy workers. Holy orders.
嗯。就是按例按按子。
The sixth is ordination.
所以这是。
Or administering the holy orders to make someone into a priest.
在耶利米就把它定下来。
And this was established, and all of these seven sacraments were established in the year
1215.
And later, Thomas Aquinas developed these seven sacraments into very elaborate, elaborate doctrines.
这是神学总论。
And he did this in a work of his called the Summa Theologia, which means the totality of theology.
那时候人有没有电脑什么货？他写的书很多，你要从头一页翻到最后一页，我看要翻一天。
And this
不要说念了，多。
This book is so voluminous that if you were to start in the morning, just skimming through it, you might not finish till the evening.
他就把那个我们前两天有讲的那个，就是赎罪的这个理论，他发展到最完全。
And Thomas Aquinas developed the idea.Behind indulgences, which we talked about yesterday, to their fullest form.
P-U-R-D-O-R-Y.
And he also elaborated on the idea of purgatory. And now that we've mentioned this, we will move on to the Reformation.
那天主教他们在14世纪到15世纪当中有70年哈，那个那时候化国比较强。
There was a period of 70 years in the 14th and 15th centuries when France was predominant, when its power was the greatest.
那法国人就把那个当罗马的皇帝那个教皇死的，他们就在法国哈，在阿里永这个地方啊。A-V-I-N 这样子啊，对 A-V-I-N-G-O-N 再一次 A-V-I-G-N-O-N 对了，把教皇迁到这个地方来。
And during this period of 70 years in the 14th and 15th century, the Pope moved from Rome to Avignon in France.
Babylonian C-A-P-T-I-V-I-T-Y 他们就说这是天主教的被掳巴比伦，因为被掳巴比伦70年嘛。
And the Roman Catholic Church considers this time period when the Pope was in Avignon as the Babylonian captivity of the Roman Catholic Church, since in the Bible the Babylonian captivity was also for 70 years.
那接下来就在意大利的罗马，同时有三个教皇。
And at this time, there were three popes at the same time in Rome.
这是大分裂。
And we call this the Great Schism.
那这是中古世纪的事情。
And this is we're still in the Middle Ages now.
所以在中古世纪呢，那个天主教的修道会啦， 他们的教皇呢，就是很混乱。
And so we can see from these events that the authority and the Roman Catholic Church was thrown into a period of great confusion.
后来人家在挖以前的修道院，奇怪，修道院那个女修道院哈，里面那个池子里面都有小孩子的刚生下来婴孩的骨头啊。就是说修女都生孩子啊，生出来就把它丢到那个池塘里面把它淹死，那现在挖出来还蛮不少的。
And what archaeologists from today have discovered when they're going through abbeys of this period was that in the baptismal pools they found the remains of small of newly born infants. And what this says is that at the time even the nuns were having children, and as soon as
地主的话，然后是一个小庄主，他大部分都是由老大继承，那老二呢都把他送到修道院去。为什么？因为怕以后他跟哥哥吵。第二个，送到修道院去之后，因为爸爸很有势力，他如果老二如果进到修道院里面以后，如果势力好了，他可以控制那个修道院，那修道院很多财产啊，无形当中哥哥在家里面继承财产，那老二去修道院里面继承财产，那爸爸也风光，那也不会兄弟吵架，所以大部分那个时候老二都被送到修道院去。
The way the monasteries were set up back then was different from how it is now. Today you can enter into a monastery voluntarily, but back then the way this society was set up, usually if you were a nobleman and you had more than one son, the first son would become the inheritor of your estate, whereas you would send the second son into a monastery. And there was the rationale behind that was thatIf the second son were out of the way, there would be no struggle for succession to the father's estate. And the second reason was that the monasteries were very, very wealthy and had a lot of land and possessions. And so if the second son went into the monastery and became powerful, or even became the abbot of the monastery, then the family's power would be even greater than before.
那我们现在来讲这宗教改革了，不然讲不完哈。
Now let's start talking about the Reformation.
在宗教改革之前，我们介绍几个人物。
And before we begin, let's first introduce some characters to you.
第一个就是 John Wycliffe.
The first is John Wycliffe.
这个是正确的古代的英文这样写啦。那现在人英国人如果不太会写，就这样子 ，Wycliffe， 是不是这样子？Chuck, you write this or this?
The first form, Wycliffe, is the form that it was written at the time.
Have you seen this one?
Is anyone familiar with the form in parentheses?
那就是这个对
了。
本来就应该这个了。那我们这个。
That's the correct and original way to write the name.
他是牛津大学的教授。
John Wycliffe was a professor at Oxford University.
他开始对天主教有点怀疑，尤其是那个。圣餐的话直说。
And he began to have doubts about the truth that was preached in the Roman Catholic Church, especially that which concerned the Holy Communion.
他本身是神父，圣职人员，他奇怪，他常常想说，我喝下去那个葡萄酒也是酒啊，只是脸红，怎么没有腥味
？And he himself was a priest, and one thing that he said was that it's very strange that when I drink of the cup, I don't really taste any blood, but I do start.My face gets red, and I feel the after effects of the alcohol.
然后他就开始翻译圣经。
And he began to make a translation of the Bible.
他从那个拉丁文的五家大本翻成英文。
And he took the Latin Bible or the Vulgate and translated it into English.
我看现在的美国人可能他翻译的可能看不太懂。
And I think that if you were to read his translation today, you probably would not understand it.
因为他那时候用的是有点像德文的，跟德文很近的那英文啊，古代的英文啊。
Because the form of English that he used at that time had some similarity, had more similarities to German than it does today.
但是他是第一本英文的翻译本。
But this was the first.English translation of the Bible.
他比 King James 老了300年。
And this predated the King James Bible by 300 years.
King James 为什么会翻 King James？ 因为人家看这个看不懂啊。
And the reason that the King James translation came out was that as the language changed, people could not understand his translation anymore. And one time, Wycliffe was almost murdered.
但是他死过了快一百年，人家再把他天主教徒啊，把他的坟墓挖起来，把他的骨头哈，烧成灰，然后把它丢在那个河里面。
And about 100 years after his death, people dug out his bones from his grave and cremated his bones and scattered the ashes.
第二个是这个是他的学生，因为当时的欧洲都用什么话？都用拉丁文，所以美那时候没有美国了哈。那个英国人也是用拉丁文，德国也是用拉丁文，那个法国拉丁文，所以他们学生是通的。 啊，这个是在布拉格，布拉格那个时候是德国的，讲德文的，但是他到牛津去留学，他就把那个 Wycliffe 的思想带回来，带回布拉格，就捷克。They
made Wycliffe a saint after his death. John Hus was a student of Wycliffe's at Oxford, and after he had, and he was originally from Prague, which at that time was part of Germany. After he had studied with Wycliffe, he took his ideas back to Germany with him.
他比较好奇,
John Hus was burned at the stake in the year
1414. And
As we mentioned yesterday, the way that you would be burned at a stake was that you would be tied to a stake. They would surround you with hay and pour oil on you and then burn you. And this was a very painful way to die.
那从护演变下来呢，就后来有一个摩拉。我先提一下，因为在宗教分裂的时候，这一支影响 很大，并且影响到卫理公会，就是John Wesley寻道会。那寻道会后来就变成圣洁会，圣洁会后来就变成五旬节会，五旬的教派，五旬的教派里面很多啦，神的教会啦，圣洁教会啊，我抄了一大堆，有两三百个，这些都是从那边来的啊，都跟这有关系的。 就是Moravian, M-O-R-A-V-I-A-N, Brethren.
John Hus's successor.
他所设立以后设立的教会就是这样子。所以如果你现在看到什么 Brethren, 有些什么group, 跟这个都很有关系。
John Hus's successors later formed the church which was known as the Moravian Brethren, and they had a great deal of influence on future churches. And one of which is the Pentecost, the modern Pentecostal movement.
他们是从天主教出来的，他们取消所有的圣职人员，每个人都是弟兄。The
Moravian Brethren came out of the Roman Catholic Church, but one of the first things that they did was they abolished all offices in the church, which meant that everyone in the church were brothers.
他们很勇敢哦。And
they were quite brave men.
后来改教之后也很 好，我们继续讲，就讲到他们勇敢到德国哈，在1618年，那时候全德国的人口是1500万人，然后后来就一直打仗，打到1638，哎，48，打了30年，30年应该如果人口应该涨，不涨也一样嘛，哈，两，若不涨不低也一样，打到剩下500万人。
From the year 1618 to 1648 in Germany, the 30 Years' War took place. At the beginning of the war in the year 1618, Germany had a population of 15 million. At the end of the war, the population was at 5 million.
我看我们就讲主要人物就好，刚刚那个只是提一下子哈。And
that's for your.
但是那两个因为太重要了，所以不讲。那现在讲路德。
And now we come to Martin Luther.
他爸爸是矿工。矿工。
His father was a miner.
矿场里面做工的。我看到我们教会不晓得哪个刊物说他是一个贫穷家的农夫的儿子，我说奇怪，他中国人就把他讲成他是农夫，他那边有种田的农夫啊，他是他爸爸是矿工，确实。
And his father was a miner. One time I saw in one of our church publications that it was written that Martin Luther's father was a farmer. In fact, he was a miner.
那他本来是他蛮聪明的，所以他还没到二十岁就拿到硕士。
硕士 ，Master. And Martin Luther was extremely intelligent, and he received his master's or the magister degree before he was age 20.
然后那个时候最好的职业就是当律师，因为当律师是最好的。
At the time, the best profession that a young man could go into was in the law.
那他就开始要去学律师，就是去读律师嘛。
And he began to study law.
那他第一年读完回家，那第二年要去念的时候，在路上跟他的同学哈一起要去念书嘛哈，那他走路的时候，忽然那个暴风雨，哇，下大雨。
And one time after he had completed his first year in college, he was on a journey with some friends of his, and they were all of a sudden they were caught in a great storm.
那跟他一起走的呢，那个雷一响，嘎，就被什么被雷打死，不是被闪电打死啊？他的隔壁那个朋友啊，就被那闪电打死啊，打死在那里啊，他吓得跪在那里啊，就开始叫啊，叫说安娜哈。他们每个人哈，因为有没有这个字啊？有没有这个字？有了哈。因为看到每个人洗礼的时候，总是有请一个护神、保护神啊。他的保护神是神安娜。
And while Martin Luther and his friends were caught in a storm, it was a very strong thunderstorm, and his friend who was standing next to him was struck and killed by a bolt of lightning.And immediately, Martin Luther fell to his knees and began to pray to Saint Anna, who was his patron saint.
他说：“如果安娜如果没有死的话，哈，因为他看他朋友死掉了，我一定要进修道院，好好，就是奉献一生当修道士这样。”
And he prayed to Saint Anna and said that if my life is spared, then I will go into a monastery and devote my life to the service of the Lord.
雨还在下，那个雷还在打。他就拖着老命赶回家，他们就没有去上学了，他就进到修道院里面去。
And so while the storm was still raging, he ran off and ran directly to a monastery, and never went back to law school again.
他就进到一个奥古斯丁修道院。
And he went into an Augustinian monastery.
因为他人蛮聪明的，所以学习很快。
And because he was intelligent, he learned his lessons very quickly.
那他也想的很多，所以他在那里面也很刻，要学就学好一点嘛，就很刻苦啊。啊，不久之后，他进去修道两年之后就当老师了。
And because he was not only intelligent but worked very hard, within 2 years he became a teacher in the monastery.
那后来他也跟那个大主教到罗马去。
And later he accompanied the bishop to Rome.
那很有名的就是说。在罗马的那个彼得教堂的外面有一个楼梯，那个梯我没有去过了，都是从书看的哈，你们以后有去再看看。那个梯呢，是用那个石头梯呢，是耶稣背十字架的时候要上哥哥他山，一路上那个石头拿去上面做的，所以叫做圣梯啊哈。Scala
And they traveled to Rome to see the Pope. Outside St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome, there is a set of stone stairs. And it is said that these are the stairs that Jesus had to climb in order to climb up to Golgotha. And the stairs are called the Santa Scala. Santa Scala.
S-A-N-T-A. Santa Scala. 对，然后因为他这之前就想到怎么这么信耶稣这么苦， 那他在这里他是用爬的，不是用走的，不是观光啊。那爬一个扣一个头，扣到最后，他想到了硬性成义。
And then Martin Luther went to these stairs and climbed them one by one. He didn't walk up them, but he climbed up them on all fours. And as he reached each stair, he would knock his head on the next step. And by the time he reached the top, an idea flashed into his mind, and the idea was that all men are justified by faith.
Oh, 他很高兴。
And he was very joyful when he received this.
他回到他的修道院里面去，当然他这是他的理论而已啦。就是在教会，在那个修道院里面，他想到这样子，那这就变成后来他研究罗马书，他本来就要教罗马书，然后继续再写罗马书讲义。
And when we returned to the monastery, he began to incorporate this idea of being justified by faith into his classes, the classes that he was teaching, especially into his studies and classes on the Book of Romans.
那在这个时候刚好有一个道明会，我们中午讲到哈，有三个修道会，大的修道会，一个道明会。道明会就是DOMINICAIN。
And at this time,
道明会 order, O-R-D-E-R, 对。
One of the other great orders, monastic orders, was the Dominican order.
啊，有一个修道士叫做 Tetzel。
And one of the monks in the one of the Dominicans whose name was Tetzel.
那时候那个我们刚我讲的哈，就是在告解礼当中，就是你要告解的时候，后来就发展到。要买赦罪券。我们已经有讲过那个功德库，有没有
？And do you remember yesterday, we discussed the idea of indulgences, and this is tied up with, the entire sacrament of penance, when you had to buy, virtues or portions of virtue out of the heavenly storehouse of virtue.
其实，在马丁路德以前已经在卖的了，这是很平常的事情。
And it was very common.To sell these indulgences, and Martin Luther himself also sold indulgences.
刚好在马丁路德这个时候，刚好那个全世界最大的教堂是哪里？就是占地，是那个罗马那个圣彼得教堂，对不对？刚好在盖圣彼得教堂很需要经费的时候，所以大量发行教皇发行什么赦罪券。我们已经讲过，赦罪券不只是我。赦罪券可以是主教的，可以是修士的哈，修士的就功德比较少一点嘛。那最大的是什么？教皇的。那教皇他是用包的，包的就是说，好，譬如说美国50州，对不对？那加州就包给一个主教，那你主教一年你交50万美金给教皇，然后这个地方就他整个的权力就卖给你，好像那个 patent 那个什么 patent 是不是？那个专利就卖给你，那你那个大主教不可能一个人去卖嘛，他就把那个在 CS 面再给下一层一层一层下去。那他是道明会的修士啊，他就是在卖这个赦罪券啊，卖这个赦罪券最主要是要盖那个彼得教堂。
And at this time, this man Tetzel, who was part of the Dominican order, was selling indulgences on behalf of Rome. At the time, they were still constructing.St. Peter's Cathedral, which is the largest church in the world. And because the construction cost a lot of money, the Pope issued a lot of indulgences. And the way that it was done was that they would sell them in mass quantities. And the Pope wouldn't sell them himself, but would give them to intermediaries or people who would act as sales agents and would in turn sell these indulgences.
那这个人很会，他是真正的一个很会讲话的人，所以他卖的生意很好。啊，卖到路德那个村庄去，啊，整村人都哇喧哗起来。那因为卖得太好了，那个他很会讲话嘛。那个生意人的嘴巴说，当你他用那个箱子哈，一个箱子，然后他说，当你的钱，那是古时候没有钞票，如果现在就不行了，现在100块美金放下也没有声音。他说，当你的钱噔了一声放在那个箱子的时候，你祖先的灵魂就噔就跳到天堂去。这真的，这书就这样写。
And this man Tetzel was an extremely good businessman as well as being a monk, and he was he was selling these indulgences throughout the land and eventually reached the village where Martin Luther was. And he was very gifted in speaking and in selling things. And what he said to the people as they gathered around was, whenever the sound of the coins that you are throwing into the pot, whenever you hear that sound, each sound represents one soul of one of your ancestors ascending into heaven.
即使得罪见也可以说是功德见啊，就是说你祖先也可以买五代以前的你的曾祖父的爸爸，那因为你想说听人家讲说他好像做坏事情，那你要把它补一些功德啊，那就放100块这样，噔，那他就那边就跳上去了这样。那你自己也可以，你昨天晚上就是少了一次房，那现在可能5美金就可以了哈。
And so the system was so elaborate that you could even buy indulgences for your ancestors for many, many generations. And when Martin Luther saw this kind of practice, he thought that it was wrong.
他就在1517年的10月31日，就是 那个万圣节的日子，他就把他的意见写了95条，反对麦瑟罪戒，反对这种理论的，把它写好，然后贴在当时他所教的大学的教堂的会堂的门口那个大门贴在那里，让大家看。
And on October 31st, which is All Hallows Eve, in the year 1517, Martin Luther wrote down what he considered to be the 90 fallacies of the Roman Catholic Church and nailed them to the chapel in the city where he happened to be teaching at the time. And he proposed his own beliefs, and the first of which was that by faith we are all justified. And the second belief that he proposed was that all people, or all of the believers, are priests.
再来他说要回归圣经。
And the third major belief that he proposed was that we needed to return to the Bible.
马丁路德他这样子不是故意的，或是说他反对，他没有说要改教，没有。
His original intent was not to reform, was not to create another church.
他只是有意见提出来而已，这很正常的，在当时呢，这种学术就是贴把你的意见贴出来让大家看，然后有意见的就跟他辩论哈，这很正常，很平常的事情。And
this was a very ordinary practice at the time, and that was that if you had any kind of new ideas that you wanted to discuss with people, then you could just nail them up and have people read them and respond and perhaps enter into discussions with them.
但是很多人看完之后呢，他生意就不好了。
But because many people read the things that Martin Luther wrote, this affected Tetzel's selling of the indulgences, and all of a sudden he was no longer able to sell quite as many as he had been selling before.
他就去，当然他就告主教啊，在那个Mainz这个地方的那个告主教。
And Tetzel went to the bishop who at that time was in Mainz.
啊，他就在Mainz的主教就不是打电话，就写信哈。 给那个奥古斯丁的修道院的院长说，你们里面的一个小和尚哈、哦、这样乱搞，95条，那我们卖不出去，那我们怎么办？And
when word of this got to the bishop in Mainz, the bishop wrote a letter to the head of the Augustinian order, which was the monastery that Martin Luther was in, and said that this one among your brethren is trying to stir up chaos among us by nailing his 95 proposals on the door.
So in 1918年呢，他们就在海德堡开一个全国的奥古斯丁修道院的所有的全体的会员大会。
In the year 1518, the Augustinian order held a general council in the city of Heidelberg.
那他们都是一样修道士嘛，说哎呀，兄弟你不要这样那么破坏我们这个院规哈，或是民生。 他们都是好好讲了哈，他说你回去，不要，就是说语气缓和一点了，不然他们那个赦罪券卖不出去，也是对我们一大损失，对整个教会一大损失。
And at this meeting, they admonished Martin Luther, and they said to him, maybe you should reconsider the 95 theses which you had nailed to the church door, and reconsider some of your ideas, because if you are hurting the businesses of the indulgence, in the end, that is hurting all of us as a church.
那路德怎么反应呢?
And how did Martin Luther respond to them?
明天再讲好了。
I'll tell you tomorrow.